So I think there's a mass confusion about what's in charge, what's going to happen, which direction. Well, there's only one way you can go. You're 3-14. I mean, technically, you can get worse, but it's going to be hard to do it. And then the conversation starts about trading Myles Garrett. I'll get to all that here in a second. But folks, this is set to be one of the most important Browns offseason in years, and the Cavs' title run at a title is just beginning. The news cycle never stops. We're going to have combine news, free agency, and the draft all the way up to the basketball postseason. Don't miss a minute of The Fan during your workday, folks. Stream us 92.3thefan.com or on your phone with the absolutely positively free Odyssey app. Yes.
10 a.m. this morning.
It's 10 a.m. Stream it this morning. Andrew Berry going to be having his press conference, which somebody should ask. Is that out of the line to ask that? Like, if we have Andrew on here, can I ask him that question?
Yeah,
why not? I don't think that's an unfair question. Like, hey, you're the general manager. What do you say to the fans who have lost confidence in you? Because a lot of people have lost confidence in where this franchise is headed. Unfair? I don't think that's unfair.
And I think, obviously, the fans always, we talk about hope, and I told you, well, it's the NFL. You always have hope that every year, but you're like, but that's not good enough.
That's not good enough.
They do want a roadmap.
Uh-huh.
Give us the roadmap. Now, I know some of the reporting that's been done, and at least what's coming from the Browns is that they are telling you the salary cap is not going to impair them at all. That remains to be seen. We'll see what they do in free agency. Yep. Remember, last year, the thought was, well, we don't really need free agency. We are loaded. Well, they can't really say that this year.
So your best chance, see, this is where it's like, hey, you're going to take a quarterback, and let me tell you why, is, you know, if you trade Miles, I say you lose a lot of goodwill with your fan base. Follow me on this a minute, okay, Tom? You trade Miles, you're going to lose a lot of what your fan base has in goodwill. But you're going to have draft picks. However, who's the people executing the draft picks? What did I just ask about confidence? Okay, dead end. So you hold on to Miles. All right, what about the veteran quarterback road? All right, we're just going to take leave-ins from somewhere else and see if that works out. We just got done talking about Sam Darnold for two quick seconds. So that's not really going to go well. And if you bring in a veteran, I know that they redid the contract. Did you say anything last week at all with the guys who were in for us about redoing Deshaun Watson's contract?
No.
Okay, because this is where I'm at. I tell people they're going to take a quarterback. Kenny, they're not going to take a quarterback. They're going to trade down. Do you want them to trade down? Because if they do trade down, now maybe you want them to, but if you want them to, you probably are still the person who doesn't like Deshaun Watson ever playing for the Browns ever again. Well, the further they were to trade down, or the less quarterbacks that they're going to take, the more likely he'll play next year. That's in the cards. And there are people I'm talking to who never want to see him play for the Cleveland Browns ever again. All right. Well, if they trade down, they're going to do that. And they also have to try to reignite a fan base here that has been downtrodden, that saw what they did last year, saw that team move away from that, whether good, bad, ugly, right, wrong, looks like it was wrong. They are insulted by what happened in the offseason last year. They are insulted that a team that made the playoffs got rid of coaches on that staff, seemed to take power away from the head coach to the point where we're not really sure what to even blame or give him credit for anymore, but saddled us with this quarterback that people do not care for. People do not want to play for this football team ever again. I get more people tweeting me about stuff he does on social media than anything about getting ready for an upcoming season here. They're in a bad spot. So you have to reignite a fan base. What's the best way to reignite a fan base, even for a short period of time? Put a new shiny object right there. A nice Cam Ward, a nice Shedeur Sanders, a nice... I know so many people are going to go, oh, God. Because you don't trust the people making the decision to make that pick. So you're in a rock and a hard place. And I don't think making it any better is trading away Myles Garrett. That's why I go, no, I don't think they're going to... I think I'm as certain as two things. And I may end up being wrong. I got the whole how this season was going to go thing earlier in the year, right? Which I didn't even realize. Somebody tweeted that at us. Two big things. I think they're going to go after a quarterback in that number two spot, and I don't think they're going to trade Myles Garrett. Those are my two things that I think they're going to do not do this year.
I don't think they trade Myles Garrett either, but I do think...
And I don't find myself advocating for either thing.
Yeah, I mean, nobody wants to trade a fan favorite. You only get to that point when you... I don't even want to say desperate, because desperate is the other way. Desperate is tripling down on the guys you have and doing everything you can to try to salvage jobs. That's desperation. Sometimes it is smart to rebuild. And what gets a rebuild going faster than anything else? What is it?
Draft picks.
Draft picks.
It's draft picks. It's top of the line draft picks. What gets you top of the line draft picks?
Losing.
It's trading somebody like Myles Garrett, who is starting to send the warning signs that he's not happy.
Yeah.
We saw this. Now, that's a very NBA move, what he did. And I've seen some people, I compared it the next day to a LeBron James move. And then didn't Mary Kay actually reference LeBron James had talked to Myles Garrett and had kind of influenced him? I know that will get people starting to get very nervous.
That's going to definitely get people going.
Myles Garrett has played in what? 3 playoff games? In his career.
Yeah, an NBA player talking to an NBA owner about leaving an NFL team. Holy God.
Yeah. I mean, it is something that should cause everybody to kind of step back. I mean, we're talking about Myles Garrett in a consulting role. Didn't you use the term consulting with
Myles
Garrett?
They said they were going to consult with him over the things that they're
guys,
doing.
Guys, that's only NBA players and quarterbacks, Hall of Fame quarterbacks, get to do that. Yeah. Uh-huh. And Myles Garrett is in that territory.
Because this is why I'm more convinced than ever they're going to take a quarterback, because they know how much he means to the fan base. They know how much goodwill he means to the fan base. They know this. They know they're getting hammered by the fans everywhere. Good God, the video of Rodney at the end of the season that they posted on their social media, which was a nice video of other players giving a veteran his due. He got to walk away from the game on his own accord, and we'll have Rodney in, I hope, tomorrow morning in studio to talk about his career. He gets to walk away on his own terms. That's an incredible feat. And the responses. Every time something news posted about the stadium, the responses of all these things getting thrown in their face, there's two guys that stand above everybody else. There was Nick, and Nick probably still is that guy. That's why it's like, well, you bring him back and you can put him in for short yardage, see how well he gets coming back. And there's Myles Garrett. But you got to make it worth Myles' time somehow. And I would tell you, I'd be a lot more signed off on all this because, Shedeur Sanders, it's not about, I love his dad. I'm a fan. I was a fan of his dad growing up. I'll be a fan forever. There's been things I've disagreed with. I mean, how am I going to rip Shedeur Sanders? No. But I looked at him against Nebraska, and then I looked at him again in the bowl game, and I credit him for playing the whole time. But damn, against good defenses, what happened? What happened? And when I see Cam Ward, I like Cam Ward a lot. He elevated all 3 programs he played for. And I'm not going to shoot my mouth off yet. I just know there's so many people shooting their mouth off over him sitting out the second half. Now, I need to know whether or not that was NIL related, because there might have been something in his NIL agreements with the program or with anybody of the boosters to say, hey, you better play somewhat of this game, whether or not it was really to go for this, what type of agreement they had. Crystal ball doesn't handle any of that stuff well at all. So I want to find out from him by the time he gets a story straight on that. I'm not just going to rip Cam Ward without knowing his side of the story yet. I don't. But there's a lot of stuff there that has baggage where people are like, nah, I don't want either part of it. Okay, so we're going to bring in Sam Darnold after that performance? Okay. Well, we'll see what Sam Darnold. But that means Deshaun Watson is going to get his try at it. We bring in anybody else. We bring in Trey Lance, I want no part of Trey Lance. We bring in Trey Lance. Deshaun Watson is going to get his chance. If you bring in Cam Ward or someone like that, they will get first dibs. They are the future. They are the guy. They are telling you that right now. And Deshaun Watson's only there in contract only. But if you bring in one of them veterans, okay. And they might very well bring in one of those veterans and draft a quarterback. And that might be the best for everybody. But if you were to move on from Andrew Berry, you would find a lot more confidence in general manager X coming in to then execute that pick of who that quarterback's going to be. But I don't trust him. You don't have confidence in him. Nobody really does. So if we don't have confidence in them to execute those picks, then a lot of people are afraid they're just going to throw them away. That's why they don't want to draft the quarterback.
Yeah, but people are going to be afraid with whatever they do now, because there's no clear plan of attack. If you're not rebuilding, if you're not trading Miles, if you're not starting over, even if Betonio retired, even if Wyatt Teller wasn't here, regardless of any of that, if you are going to try to make a go at it and you've got like 1 foot in on this thing, but then 1 foot kind of out, then I think fans are going to dread whatever decision, because there's no perfect scenario here. If you go with Cousins, he's as bad as he's ever been. He looked like he's got a foot out of the league. I mean, honestly did. Aaron Rodgers. Okay,
I'm waiting for a caller to bring up Aaron Rodgers.
There's a lot of reasons to believe that he's cooked at this point. We can go up and down the list. We had a caller earlier that I screamed and yelled at over defense wins championships. Okay, are you going to be happy further solidifying the defense?
What happens
oftentimes in these. How many teams has Myles Garrett been on defensively that has been all right? You know, he's a threat to get to the quarterback every time. 3 wins, 4 wins, 0 wins, mm-hmm. 1 win.
Mm-hmm. And then, by the way, if I do draft that quarterback, you're still not out of the woods, because how much faith do I have in Kevin Stefanski to work with either one of these quarterbacks? Because these are more – every new quarterback is more of a spread quarterback type of guy.
Sure.
Not RPOs. RPOs are on their way down. But a spread quarterback guy from the shotgun type of guy. And Kevin Stefanski's had his success out of boot, play action, under center offense. And you have to ask the question, because it's only fair 5 years in. All right, is it Kevin being too stuck in his ways with the offense, or is it just the quarterbacks? Is it just those guys? Because, you know, we say this about coaches all the time. You still have to play to the strengths of the players that you have. You can't get them to A and B quicker if they can ever reach point B. So you have to figure out a new point B if you're going to get them from A to B. And Kevin Stefanski with these quarterbacks has not done that. So there's something on him here, too. 216-474-0092. Dwayne in Cleveland. You're first up on the fan. Hello.
How you doing?
Hi, Dwayne.
So, the whole idea about, Kevin Stefanski, out of the past 4 years, he had some success. He was the two-time reigning Coach of the Year. And out of the other 2 years, of course, he actually had some hiccups here, inconsistency, making play calls or whatnot. But has he got the quarterback that he deserved, or the quarterback that he deliberately picked? Everybody wants to go back to talk about Baker Mayfield having success, you know, winning the first Browns playoff win in 24 years, of course. But nobody really talks about the 68 interceptions leading the league in 2018. And then bringing Deshaun Watson, of course, you know, was that on his accord? You know, do we really, have to be so hard on Kevin Stefanski? He's been the most successful coach since Bill Belichick. And I think we need to give him a little bit more time. I think Andrew Berry definitely needs a little bit more, time as well, because we're tired of just firing a whole regime and then bringing a whole new regime, and then we're just going to rebuild every time and whatnot. You just to take the guys that actually know the organization, hold them accountable, and then tell them to fix it before somebody wants to take over this Deshaun Watson contract. And then, what he do, almost 100 million, I don't know the exact number. But I think we need a little bit more faith in them as well. And then the whole trade with Myles Garrett is a whole thing as well. How do we replace that? You know, he's a generational talent, you know, but I don't know what you guys think. But, I think that's just my little take on that.
I don't want to trade Myles for the reasons I laid out. Dwayne, thank you very much for the call. For Stefanski, I just can't keep making excuses for him. At some juncture, it has to rest on his shoulders with some of this. And to be a coach who, I know we all say, two-time coach of the year. All right, well, that's got to stop. That's got to stop. I can't just keep throwing that as a reason to keep him as a head coach. There's plenty of guys who have been coach of the year that have been let go. But I've been the one who say, oh, so Kevin's the one guy in the history of the NFL that needs a bad quarterback to win football games. He might need a quarterback that no longer really exists. Kirk Cousins is the way of the dinosaur. You're looking at Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, the way of the dodo bird almost. You are bringing up these guys who are no longer the main way to do things in this league. Whether or not that's the right way or the wrong way, that's how they're raised from college. That's how they're raised from high school. So you have to adjust to the type of players you have coming in. And if you can't adjust, we're going to have to find somebody else who can. Because these guys, who are we going to find in the draft that's under center, that's going to do a five-step drop, that's going to do boot and play action and all those things from under center? They're not available anymore.
Yeah, no one's doing that.
So if we're going in a new direction, then yeah, it might mean a new direction of the person who's coaching that guy. Or if Kevin wants to stand and be the person who oversees everything and be a manager of people again, all right, I'll listen to that. But you better find the quarterback coach that can work with these guys. The stakes are just too high. Because now we're not just talking about the amount of players that you have in terms of salary that's lined up. This is 8 years. We've been doing this for 8 freaking years with this ideal, with the people in charge of tearing it down and building it up. We have one playoff win to show for it. And it's become, and you can tell from the fans, it's become extremely tiresome. I saw the latest video the fan put up on Twitter, where I said, and that's why I'm more convinced than ever that they're going to take a quarterback when you, after you had said, only NBA players and Hall of Fame QBs get to do that. Myles Garrett is in that category. Consulting with the team over the decisions they make in the offseason. A couple of observations, astute observation by you. Second, boy, the angle's terrible. You can see my Hooters in the video. You can see them. I mean, one of the things of...
That's a Ken Carmen classic.
I know that there's been Ken, your body has changed. There's a little bit more loose skin, and so it tends to hang a little bit more than it used to.
Well, I've always said you can carry your weight very, very well.
A lot of people are surprised at how heavy
and
I actually am.
And I've always said you have magnificent Hooters.
Yeah, I do.
So now it's time to gain some weight is, I think, what we're both talking about.
Nah, cutting season's over, Ken.
It's over. It's over. Come on now. It's over. 216-474-0092. Well, I mean, you know, it's a new year, maybe a new me. Mitch, please, coming up at 9:40. I'm sure that's going to be sensational. It's been a long time since we've had it. It better be sensational. Can they let go of can they trade Myles Garrett? Because if you guys who were like, oh, trade Myles Garrett, get the picks back. Okay, who's making the picks? What do you think of that? We're in an impossible position where it's like something's got to give. What gives? Does it give during this next season in 2025, 8 months from now? What tells us that we're going to have such a better football team then? Because they're going to have to make, to appease Myles, they're going to have to make some strong moves. To appease the fan base, they're going to have to make some strong moves. That's why, yeah, they probably will go out and get a vet. And I'm still convinced they will probably take a quarterback at number two, whether that be Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. Because they got to put some heat into the franchise and make it feel like, one, we have a future, two, we have a present that this guy wants to be a part of.
Well, so you're to the point where you think it's all about still making a splash to try to dig themselves out of this.
Yes,
they need to do sexy things, the draft.
I think they need to, that they probably will do. But honestly, yeah, to make some sort of to get the fans off the thought of Deshaun Watson's coming back and we're still going to have this type of offense, which means there's no offense, no identity. The way that Jack Conklin said it yesterday, that we couldn't find an identity the entire year is what he said. Then, yeah, to get people out of that mode, yeah. Big name vet or former big name vet and rookie QB, top of the draft.
Trading for Tyreek Hill?
What? Well, you don't need to trade. What? Are they going to let him go?
I'm just saying that it almost sounds like...
Throw another log on the fire.
What you are talking about right now is what GMs do to save their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They start making moves that are not in the best interest of the team long-term.
Well, what other decisions can he make? Can he make good long-term decisions now? He's guaranteed. It seems that he's guaranteed this year. Is anybody guaranteeing him the next year? So you're kind of up against it. So now you're in job savior mode. So if you're in job savior mode,
great. I was going to say he might be guaranteed half a year.
Okay.
I mean, because you start to see.
So even worse.
If things go south, if they start out 1-6 next year, they're getting rid of everybody.
Does he lack any confidence that he can't do the job? No, nobody does. So if he believes that he can do the job, he's probably going to get more desperate to find that guy. Yeah, you're making my cases for me that they're going to take a quarterback, Tone. Because as long as it's not Deshaun Watson, for a lot of fans, okay. Jim in Concord Township, you're first up on the fan.
Yeah, I have two scenarios for you. If we draft... I like Shedeur Sanders. I like them since Jackson State. The kid's tough.
Okay.
And then the other option is, I saw Joe Milton yesterday. He really put a tremendous game out there yesterday against the Buffalo Bills. He's a poor man's Josh Allen, and 6'5", 245. And we can get him. If you need to trade Garrett, this is why I'm bringing this up. If we need to trade Garrett to them. Get their choice, which would be number four. So we'd have 2 and 4. We get this Joe Milton, and then we could pick whoever we want.
To sit there and tell you no to Joe Milton, I think that would be kind of silly. I saw enough of Joe Milton yesterday to know that it's a project. And thank you very much for the call, Jim. Did he say anything about trading Myles there?
He brought it up.
Okay.
I just couldn't get past. Now, we've had somebody tweet us and call us about Joe Milton.
Because they saw him yesterday.
No, it's going to be a big Milton
show. They won a game
today.
They weren't supposed to. They won a game. That's where we're at.
Yeah, I know.
That's how desperate we are. So, Andrew, by the way, if we're that desperate for a guy like Joe Milton, who will probably just be another footnote in NFL history, Andrew Berry's not desperate for a quarterback?
No, I was going to say, Mac Jones. What's Mac Jones doing?
Owen brought him up 3 weeks ago.
Brought him up a couple times.
Yeah, he did. They're going to have a new head coach down in Jacksonville. They probably won't have a new general manager, it seems. They're going to let Trent Baalke continue to make decisions. Okay. See how well that works out for him. Tom, in Chagrin Falls. Next up
Welcome
in the fan.
Back.
Hello,
Happy
Tom.
Happy New Year.
Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
This state of the Browns. It seems that Andrew Berry and Stefanski are attached at the hip. Let Stefanski get who he wants. There seems to be enough money floating around the NFL. You can go get anybody if you can give enough money.
So who do you want him to get? Who do you want him to get? Is there a person you like?
I personally don't know everybody available to make a decision. All I'm saying is Stefanski wants his way to run his offense. Let him get the person he wants. But tell him.
Well,
you're responsible for it.
So what we're going to end up doing here.
What you're going to do.
Well, what we're going to end up doing here, Tom, thank you very much for the call. What is going to end up happening is a couple of things. If you let Kevin make his own decision, which, my God, to put him in charge after 5 years, we're really doing something here. But to actually put the head coach in charge of the franchise that he's running here, if he were to make his decision, great. But there would be plenty of people saying, well, what's that going to get you? It's going to get you to the middle of the round. It's not going to get you to the playoffs, or it might get you to the edge of the playoffs. All right, well then, yeah. Well, you know what? Next year's the year where maybe you trade everything you can and get up to the top spot that you possibly can get. And then go after your guy. If you wanted to go that round. I mean, I can look at it from a million different ways. I don't know if my way is the right way, because I don't trust their way. I don't like my way of doing it is going to be, yeah, I don't want to take a quarterback, but if my job's on the line, I'm going to have to take a quarterback and make the best of a bad situation. Me personally, since I'm just a general manager who ain't going to get fired over it, yeah, I'd probably like to take a nice player, maybe a Travis Hunter at number two, or maybe move back and amass some picks, because all of our ideas are all going to be better than what we think Andrew Berry's idea is going to be. And then, yeah, probably I would like to take one of the two quarterbacks that might come out next year. Which, the second I said Arch Manning, there were like four people got in online like, he ain't coming out next year. Okay, well, if he doesn't come out next year, then we're really put in a bad spot now, aren't we? Unless Drew Aller has that type of a season and that type of an offense over there at Penn State. But then there comes the whole other question. Boy,
people think Drew's going to be available in this draft.
Well, we're looking for a savior right now with Drew, and he's a local guy, and I'm nervous about local guys because you know I'm going to see it through different colored glasses. I did it with Mitch. I didn't want to take him where the Browns would have taken him possibly, but I did the same with Mitch, and I'm afraid I'd do the same with Drew Aller.
I can tell, by the way, our fans are definitely watching more college football. You know,
hell
I know
yeah.
that because they're talking about all the guys that are playing right now. I've heard more Scataboo references. I'm like, you guys realize he runs a 4.7, right? Don't care. We've seen him dominate. He could be on the cover of Madden. Let's go. I've heard more Will Howard over the last week, where after the Michigan game, it was like Howard didn't belong in professional
Scataboo,
football, period.
Scataboo might be Friday night. Depends on what he does. I was listening to Rick Spielman. Depends on what he does. If he runs a 4.6, 4.7, might be Saturday afternoon. Yeah. But if he runs a 4-4, 4-5,
he ain't running a 4-4.
Friday night.
4-4 is not happening.
You don't know what these guys train for the 40. He runs a 4-4 with that type of mentality, or 4-5 with that type of mentality. That's round two,
three. They're saying Rich Eisen might be able to catch him in the 40.
Okay, come on.
Love Owen Schmidt. Can't wait to see him again.
Who's them saying that? Ain't no one saying that. Who's the one guy? Owen Marisic. We had Owen Marisic.
Oh,
remember him?
Yep.
Swiss Army knife. Hello, Adam in Shaker Heights. Go ahead.
I think a good move would be to sign Kirk Cousins and then draft Quinn Ewers or Jackson Dart. I think those two guys would fit his system. Stefanski's, if we're gonna roll back with his system, bringing, you know, we're getting rid of our OC, so we're bringing back his system. It sounds like.
When would we draft those guys?
I think you can get those guys in the later rounds, second or third, and then you just let them sit behind Cousins for a year. You get Cousins in a win now mode. I don't think if you take a quarterback at
Adam,
you're gonna win anything. So
my problem is, do you think it's a good draft class?
Not for quarterbacks, no.
Okay, if it's not a good draft class for quarterbacks, why do I want to take one of the lesser quarterbacks out of the draft class? So if I'm not taking the top two, I'm not taking
you're not going to win with one now in the first round. I think if you get one in the later rounds, you can let him sit and develop a year. If it buys you a year with Cousins, you're not going to win now, like I said, with any of these guys anyway. So Von, get your veteran now. If you're going to win, go with that. And then you let the guy sit and develop next over the year. Dart, I think, has a big arm. Quinn is a good – he's been injured, but when he wasn't injured, his numbers are really good. He's good for the system. He can process quickly. They both can. They can both be in the pocket. They're good in the intermediate routes. They're quick processing. Like I said,
I want you to do something. Yeah. I'm dead serious. I'm not being an a-hole about this. I'm being dead serious. I want you to find a way to go back and watch the Florida game.
Sure.
Because Dorian Thompson-Robinson looked more composed in the fourth quarter than Jackson Dart. I want you to go back and watch Ole Miss Florida.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. If you can get him, though, in like a later round and let him sit and develop, I mean, that's one game. That's fine. But I think he's a good big. He's a big, bigger dude. He can sit in the pocket. And like I said, he's got a big arm. He can process. This style of offense, I don't think you need anyone like super athletic. You just need a guy that can process quickly, make the throws in rhythm, Lewis and run that play action scheme. I think these are good guys for that fit.
Well, Adam, thank you very much for the call. I don't know if Ewers is coming out this year. I would imagine he might go back for NIL.
Yeah, now
and
they're
try
talking
to bump that stock up.
Rumored $6 million NIL. Yeah,
so, well, someone's going to give him a lot of money. The other part of it is with Ewers, Ewers is a hell of an athlete. With Jackson Dart, with this draft class, if it were a really good draft class, and I didn't need a quarterback, if it were a really good quarterback class, right, and we were deep, I would believe more in giving some time to let a guy sit and develop, quote-unquote. If it's that bad of a draft class, I'm either taking a guy at the top or I really don't want to waste anybody's time with taking a guy later on, because we can call it sit and develop, but it's really sit and rot. That's what it is. And they play at the end of a bad season when we probably have already fired a coach, we've already fired a general manager. Like, yeah, you could take Jackson Dart, and Jackson Dart will probably play for the Cleveland Browns in week 14 for interim head coach Jim Schwartz when we're looking for a new general manager. Could you not see that scenario playing
100%.
Out? 100%.
Okay. I think there are fans that just don't want that pressure. They don't want a quarterback to be ruined. And by doing what he said, because your logic was right, it's a bad quarterback draft, so we're going to go later on our quarterback and use up – you know, an asset in the third round or whatever to go get him. Well, what he is saying is, let's not put pressure on a kid. Let's slow roast this thing.
Yeah, and you will slow roast
it. Which just shows you have no faith in the organization whatsoever. No. So if that's the case, why is it your first move to fire everybody? House cleaning.
And I would like to, how many games has Jackson Dart played in his career? We're going over Jackson Dart stats here on Black Monday. Here we are. Jackson Dart has started... I think he's played a hell of a lot of college football, right? He's played 45 games of college football. When you're making those decisions at the end of a game in your senior year against Florida, that's why I'm sorry. I'm just wasting my time. Let somebody else who's in a better – seriously, let a better organization that's in a better position take a guy like Jackson Dart and do what Adam said. Not that he can't play in the NFL. It's just you got to go to a better organization than what we're at right now. Because if you're making those decisions like I saw him, no. Cam Ward played a lot of college football. You saw his better decision-making as time went on. Yeah, I know what happened, and I know your scout buddy is going to send you a lot of texts after I just said that. I didn't say we're out of the woods with him. Didn't say that.
Boy,
it does concern me that we go from day three last year to number two overall in this draft class.
Well, that was Baker.
Or number one,
that was
possibly.
Baker. Baker's ascension was exactly
true.
That.
That's true. Mitch, please.
All right, guys. Saturday night during the Steelers-Bengals game, Pittsburgh back Najee Harris reached 1,000 yards rushing for the fourth consecutive season. And while I'm sure many were proud of Harris's accomplishment, one of them was not Hall of Famer and broadcaster Troy Aikman. This audio via Football Forever on X as well as ESPN.
I think it's probably time we raised the bar on 1,000-yard running back season with 17 games. I mean, there was a time 1,000 yards was quite an accomplishment, but not so much anymore.
Do you agree with Troy Aikman?
I love it because I tweeted basically the same thing yesterday before I heard him say it. I went back to look. When I fell in love with this game, Kenny, just to date you and show you how old I am. Late 80s,
5 years older than me.
Early 90s. I went back just now, randomly, 1992. Sterling Sharp led the NFL with 1,400 yards in 16 games. There were seven receivers that had 1,000 yards. That is a milestone. 1989, there were six. So we all know the league ballooned, passing ballooned in the 2000s and then went to another level in 2010. I thought we all had agreed a long time ago that 1,000 yards doesn't mean anything, yet that's all I heard yesterday was how big of a deal 1,000 yards was.
He's 31 years old. You're talking about. I know you were talking about running backs here.
Yeah, but I'm talking about receivers. Yeah. But
Mike Evans, 31 years old, to do it that many times, it's 11 or 9?
Yeah, it's 11.
11 times, that's a
lot. Only Jerry Rice has
done it.
Evans is great.
I know that Jerry Rice is pretty good at football.
Like, yeah. I would say 1,200
but I didn't
yards
need that stat. That stat is not why Mike Evans... Like, I'm not, that's not the stat I'm going to be rifling off.
Set the bars. 1,200 apiece then for running backs and wide receivers, the bar?
It's got to be at least 1,100, right? It's just, but that doesn't fit as neatly into a graphic. 1,000 yards is 1,000 yards. But notice, we don't talk 3,000 yards anymore. When I was young, again, late 80s, into the mid 90s, it was, all right, 3,000 doesn't mean anything anymore. Now it's becoming 3,500. Then guys were getting five. I know we didn't have a 5,000-yard quarterback this year. Burrow was the closest. But we've shattered all this stuff, and it was just interesting hearing yesterday. So Troy Aikman said that, yet I was hearing Jim Nance and Tony Romo, because they had nothing else to talk about in the game they were doing. They could not stop talking about guys getting 1,000 yards.
Got a little NFL news.
I saw this. I'm actually worked up about it.
I'm interested. I don't know it.
Are you talking about the Jordan Schultz report?
I'm looking at Albert Breer now.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. What you got?
It's Bengals.
It's probably the same.
It is. Lou Anarumo is out, the coordinator.
I think that's asinine. If it were, they've also fired their offensive line coach, linebacker coach, and defensive line coach. So they're basically going to do a whole, with the exception of
DBs.
Paul
Diener has that.
Yeah, they're going to do the whole house cleaning except for
coaches. So Burrow must love Zach Taylor. Yeah. He must be really comfortable with him.
Yeah, probably. Because I don't know if Mike Brown lets him get in those decisions. Who knows? I mean, that guy, they're a different group down there. If we didn't already have Jim Schwartz, I would be pounding the table for Lou Anarumo. I don't think he forgot how to call defense. He didn't. I don't think he wanted to give up Jesse Bates and other guys like that.
Yeah, he had the worst defensive structure or players, yeah. I guess you should say.
Yeah.
I mean, Hutchinson was great.
Yeah. They had Hendrickson. Was great. Yeah.
Hendrickson. You know, yes.
Somebody's going to get it. Yeah, but you understand, like, you have one really good defensive lineman. I mean, a couple years ago, we were talking about this guy being a head coach. Okay. Again, that's the lipstick on the pig stuff, the scapegoat stuff, that if you want to talk about that being a scapegoat, that's a scapegoat. How it puts a nice bow on this show, you cannot sit there and tell anybody with a straight face that Ken Dorsey gone and Andy Dickerson gone is going to solve your problems. No. I hope it's not this way. I hope that this is a locker room that can get over these problems. I hope it's not an organizational problem. A leadership problem, but it looks like it could be that way. Because if you can't establish, when Jack Conklin says we can't establish an identity offensively, you had a perfect, had a perfect identity last year. That went away. Did you need to make that go away? No. You caused your own problem. There's no scapegoating here. They all share in whatever this 3-14
The mistake was, we don't know that there's an offense that Deshaun Watson could work with, because they didn't think he could work with the Stefanski offense, so they went and got something else, and he can't work with that. So that was the flaw there. Mm-hmm. And they have just known he can't work in any offense because he's had this all-time historical drop-off from where he was, 4 or 5 years ago.
We got Andrew Berry at 10 a.m. in his press conference live on The Fan. Kyle and Avon Lake, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning to you.
I think for this old Melvin Stefanski, that's what I call him, Melvin. I think Melvin, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you got to bring in at least like a Kirk Cousins, a veteran quarterback that has experience winning. And then, yeah, you got to draft a quarterback at 2 if you want any chance of winning next year. And otherwise, no. Like if you go to Myles Garrett and you say, yeah, we're going to take a DB at 2, Travis Hunter, let's say, and see what we can pick up, get a Mac Jones or something. You know what? He's not going to stay. He's not going to stay and play for that. And by keeping Melvin and Barry, they still believe in the roster. They think there's a chance for something next year, but I don't see it, guys. I think next year It's going to be about the trade deadline, and we're going to be the same as we were this year, and then these players will be traded then.
Kyle, thank you very much for the call. I'm not going to say your prediction's wrong, because it's probably more often than not, guys like you end up being right. So I don't want to say you're wrong and then have you call in at this time, or excuse me, during the October time of next year when things start to go off the rail. But I do think that they're going to take somebody at number two. They're going to take a quarterback at number two. And you very well could find out from the very get-go. I think they're going to put that person on the fast track, whether that be Ward or Sanders. They're going to put that person on the fast track, and they're going to force us to make a decision on him, because if that guy isn't good, we will do one of two things. We'll either go right back to it and go back to the draft and take one of the guys coming out, or we will talk ourselves into it. And we are nesters, so we will probably try to talk ourselves into it. So whoever they get at number two, they're going to be put on the fast track to start. There's not going to be a competition. If they took Cam Ward, I'd probably be telling you that Cam Ward's going to start week one for this Cleveland Browns football team. Same thing with Shedeur Sanders. Because if it's still a team of veterans, then a team of veterans should be able to take care of him, shouldn't he? That sounds crazy, I know, to a lot of people. Mark that down. That'd probably be what would happen. Get to Paul on the road real quick. Paul, you're next up on the Fan. Got to go quick.
Hey, I'm tired of hearing this Cousins thing. This dude is 37 years old next season. He is not. He's a quick fix. We don't need quick fix. I think the Browns should go after Justin Fields. He's a free agent. He proves that he could be an
NFC North.
And he's an AFC North cornerback for 1,000 yards, 5-1, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception, and 6 games. You go get Cousins, Jameis Winston at an older age. Go get Fields, get a quarterback later in the rounds, develop him, and go after Hunter and build up your defense and fill the gaps. We got to fill these gaps. We can find a quarterback. Stefanski needs to find his guy. Plain and simple.
Paul, thank you very much for the call. He is not a under-center bootleg quarterback. And also,
I don't think Fields fixes anything.
I can't call him bad, but
NFL quarterback's kind of bad.
Not so great to bad doesn't make anything good. I used to say adding bad to bad does not make it good. I want to be nicer to Justin Fields.
I think with Justin Fields, Jerry,
so bring in Leroy Horde.
I think with Justin Fields,
Greg Pruitt, get him in there.
Jerry Jeudy is going to have 600 yards next year if Fields plays every game.